evening that I firmly believe. What are you doing? Oh, that was her. Okay. I thought it was Diane that threw that paper wad over there, but it was this one over here. But anyway, I firmly believe that we are rocketing through the end times. And, you know, I have personally lived through most of what I would call the end of the end times. The actual end times began with Christ's first coming. After 4,000 years of history, Christ came, and for 2,000 years we've been in the end times. But listen to me tonight, I firmly believe that we're living in the end of the end times. I'm not setting dates, I don't do that, but I'm just saying I'm watching, I'm working, I'm waiting for the Lord's second coming and all that has to do with that. And you say, well, Pastor, what is, what are these prophetic milestones that we've been involved with? Well, there are certain milestones that lead up to what is called the 70th week of Daniel. How many have heard the 70th week of Daniel? There are seven times 70 weeks of years. They're not weeks of days, weeks of months. They're weeks of years. And they're having to do with the final chastisement of the nation of Israel before God lets them be the head of the nations and the kingdom of God comes to earth. That began with the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, 445 BC, under Xerxes II of the Persian Empire. And that went for 483 years until the first coming of Christ, when he was cut off on Palm Sunday, as we preached on this morning. And then God said there's 7 years left, but God stopped the time clock at that point because he was now going to judge the nation of Israel. He was going to offer the gospel to a Gentile-led church. And then he is going to turn back to the nation of Israel, listen to me, in that last 7 years of their chastisement. They'll be living under the Mosaic Law. Right now, they can't live under the Mosaic Law. Why? They don't have a temple. They don't have sacrifices. But they're being prepared for that. We are living in the end of the end times. Now, you say, can God be dealing with Israel and still deal with the bride of Christ at the same time? Can God walk and chew bubble gum at the same time? You see, God, the nation of Israel are blinded right now. They don't accept Jesus Christ. We do, and we accept him as our Savior, and we're in the body of Christ. We're in the bride of Christ, and we're to provoke Israel to jealousy. But something new has happened in these last times, and I want to look at that and think about that, because the Bible tells us that we are going to go into the very end times, and when we come to that end times, it's the last 7 years. Excuse me. And after those 7 years, Christ is going to rule for 1,000 years from Zion. You say, are you a Christian Zionist? Yes. Zion is Israel. Zion is more particularly Jerusalem. More particularly than that, Zion is the Temple Mount, and the temple is where Christ Jesus is going to reign as a king and a priest from his throne in the Holy of Holies, in the fourth temple, the millennial temple. And so that is coming, and you and I are watching for that. Now, we have had things accelerate. There are things that are happening between, you know, my lifetime and just a little before my lifetime, right up until these last 7 years called Daniel's 70th week. Daniel 9, 24 through 27 talks about that. And that's the last 7 years. And things are going to really go fast when you get in the 7 years, because the 7 years now you have birth pangs. Boom, boom. And if you've ever been pregnant, talking to the ladies, or if you've been married to a pregnant lady, talking to guys like me, you know those birth pangs get closer and closer, more intense and more regular the closer you get to birth. What's the birth? The kingdom of God coming back to earth with Jesus, right? And it's going to get more and more regular in the 70th week. And that's in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And what that word shortly means is it's not going to happen shortly, because John wrote this in about AD 96, and Jesus didn't come in his lifetime. So he wasn't talking about shortly. It's been almost 2,000 years since John wrote those words. But somebody says, yeah, but with a day as a Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. But God wasn't writing to himself. He was writing to us. So shortly come to pass doesn't mean it would come to pass, you know, boom, just, but it would rather be when it starts, when the 7 years starts, one birth pang after the other will come. There'll be the early birth pangs and the later birth pangs, and that says the kingdom of God is ready to be born, and we're going to have the kingdom of God come to earth. And isn't that what we're praying for? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what it's talking about, a geopolitical kingdom headed up by the Messiah. Now you say, Pastor, what about all of this? I'm preaching tonight on don't be all shook up. Don't be all shook up. And if you're a baby boomer like I am, you think of, I don't like rock music. I don't like any of these guys. But you think of Elvis Presley, don't you? I'm all shook up. Oh, whoa, whoa. That was him. And tonight, I want to say, don't be all shook up about these things. And you say, Pastor, why not? Well, number one, because of opportunities now explained for you. All right, and I'm going to go back and go back to my introduction, Bobby, but I'm giving point one right now. Because of opportunities now explained for you. You see, God doesn't want you to be shook up. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. You don't have to be worried. I'm giving you prophecy so that you, my people, who have the Holy Spirit, who have the Word of God, you can know where you are as far as the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from the time of the apostles right up until now, we were to expect Jesus to come in our lifetime. And every generation was to. And so we are to expect and to hope for Jesus Christ to come back in our lifetime. But there are some things now that show us that we're really getting close to the end. Number one, here's the super sign that we're getting close to the end. In fact, one of the men tell me, what's the super sign that we're getting close to the end?
Israel being back in their land.
Israel being back in the land. Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 37, God said, I will gather my people whom I have scattered to all the nations of the earth, and I will gather them back in unbelief. And that's right where they are. They've been providentially regathered by God in unbelief. It started in the late 1800s with Theodore Herzl in Europe and all that went on there. And it continued after World War I with the Balfour Declaration, when the British government that took over for the Turks, they declared Israel would be, or the Palestine, they called it, would be a homeland for the Jews. And they didn't keep that promise, but then Hitler tried to exterminate the Jews, and God turned it against them, and it became May 1948, after the UN had voted in November of 1947 to give a homeland to the Jews. Now David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, said that Israel is a nation among the nations, and that was the super sign that we're in the end. The clock is now ticking, and the hourglass of the end times are running all along. So what do you keep your eyes on? Israel. Right now, Israel's only about the size of the state of New Jersey. How many hear about New Jersey all the time in the news? What? New Jersey, literally. You raised your hand? You don't hear about New Jersey in the news all the time. No. How many hear about Israel all the time in the news? You see, everything centers around Israel. And some people are for Zion, Israel, Jerusalem. Some people are against it. But I'm for it, amen? And that was one sign. The second one is the Israeli army captured the old city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount on June of 1967 in the Six-Day War. I remember that very well. You say, why do you remember that? I got saved that year. I got saved in June 16, 1967 in Muskegon, Michigan as a 17-year-old boy, born again. And I'll tell you what, I was watching from then until now for these things that we're talking about tonight. Then another indication, we're getting closer, was the recognition on December 2017 by President Donald John Trump of Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, and putting some feet to his faith in that and setting up the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. You say, well, why is that important? It's preparing for Israel to have their temple. And that is drawing closer. And then, number four, these things were followed by groups within Israel who, like the Temple Mount faithful, and they began to prepare for Mosaic worship. They began to have all the priest's garments, all the utensils for the temple. They are building them. The Ark of the Covenant was supposedly discovered under the Temple Mount and is walled up there because the Palestinians, quote unquote, walled it in. And when Israel took over the Temple Mount, they gave Jordan the opportunity to oversee it because they didn't want a big war. And so all of that happened. So the Israeli government is not trying to do this, but God is doing it. And so these things were done. And then in Texas, September 16, 2022, five red heifers were sent to Israel to qualify one of them to be used in the purification for the rebuilt temple on the Temple Mount. And they sent them over, and they're still not disqualified. Some have been, but they're still dealing with that. And some people believe, insiders believe, one has already been offered, and the ashes are being kept. I don't know that for sure, but I do know this. The last time a red heifer qualified to purify was the last temple that was destroyed in AD 70. So in your day, the red heifers are readied to be, one of them to be offered for purification, ceremonial purification. September 16, 2022, they came our way. And recognizing, now listen to this, recognizing Israel's progress toward getting their temple back, the enemy of Israel, Hamas over in the territory of the Philistines that Jonathan Kahn rightfully said are just like ancient Philistines, Hamas, they launched an attack on Israel October 7, 2023, and it's been considered the worst attack since Hitler's Holocaust, and terrible things were done. There's a movie called The Dragon's Prophecy by Dinesh D'Souza. We showed part of that watch night. That was the most horrible, horrendous thing done. And the only way you can explain it is that Satan hates what God loves. He hates the Jews. Right. he's anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist, that is anti-Israel. And you start hearing people talk like that, they're becoming mouthpieces of Satan. Don't be deceived. And so that happened, and that kicked off Israel fighting Hamas. And that brought to pass a partial fulfillment of Zephaniah 2:4-7. Not a complete fulfillment yet, but a partial fulfillment of that prophecy that has to do with the Philistines and Gaza. And you can read about it, Zephaniah 2:4-7. Part of that is already, I believe, been fulfilled and will be completely fulfilled. That is a now prophecy. It can happen anytime. And then that led into where we are now. And that is another now prophecy. I've been preaching on it for 17 years. One of the men tell me that is the war with what country? All right, we'll go over here. War with what country?
Iran.
Iran. It's called Elam. And do you notice where Karg Island is and where the Straits of Hormuz are? And where Natanz is and where Bashur is, the nuclear reactor that was hit by the allies there. Do you know where that is? It's all in ancient Elam, in the western part of Iran and the southwestern. And apparently, according to that prophecy, I can tell you, I'm not preaching on this tonight, but I can tell you what's going to happen ultimately. And may happen in this segment of the war. I don't know. It started the summer of partial fulfillment. Now it's more. But the ultimate fulfillment will be Iran is going to be dismayed before the enemy. Ground troops are going to go in there and cause dismay and devastation. And Iran, especially in that area of ancient Elam, will be devastated. And there'll be some kind of disaster, whether it's a nuclear disaster or some kind of a disaster, that will cause people living in Iran, in that whole area that we're talking about, to have to run out of the country and go to every nation on earth. And God's going to take out the Prince of Persia, who's a fallen angel, and set up his throne and his government that will be friendly to his purpose. For a time in that area of ancient Elam in Iran. And so the Bible speaks about that, and these things are coming right now. We're in the midst of that. In other words, that prophecy is ready to fall off the parchment onto the pavement of fulfillment. And then we talked about after that, there's going to be another war. And I wonder if anybody knows what that next war is. One of the men tell me. All right, I'm going to ask Dr. Luke over here. What would it be?
Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Not yet.
Psalm 83.
Psalm 83 first. Because, see, Ezekiel 38 and 39 is coming. You're right, Luke, but it's a next prophecy. Because in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Israel will be dwelling in the middle of the land. That means they'll be possessing Jordan. They're going to defeat Jordan, Psalm 83. They're going to defeat Lebanon, Psalm 83. They're going to defeat even Saudi Arabia, Psalm 83, as strange as that may seem to you. They're going to defeat Egypt. They're going to defeat Iraq. They're going to defeat, you say, Israel. You said they're not trying to expand their territory. No, but they're going to have to fight these people. They're going to come against them. And Israel, in the process of this war, is going to harm themselves, according to Isaiah 17, 1 through 14. And Damascus, Syria, is going to fall in one day. That very well could happen during the Psalm 83. That's my guess. But I could be wrong, but at any rate, Damascus, Syria is going to fall. It's never been destroyed, and one day it's going to fall. You say, Pastor, how do you know all these things? I'm hanging around with the prophets. And I'm hanging around with Bible teachers like Bill Salas, who rightly interprets the prophets. Pray for him. He has Parkinson's disease, but he's still going. But I'm just saying to you, I preached on these things for 17 years, and now we're seeing a partial fulfillment of some of these. And people in this church that have been around, you know that I'm not losing credibility with you, because I'm giving you what I believe the Bible teaches about these things. Now, Luke is right. After a time, Israel's going to expand their territory all the way from the Mediterranean Sea all the way to the Euphrates River. Do you know what's just across from the Euphrates River? Iran. Iran wanted to expand their territory all the way from Iran, the Euphrates River, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And that's why they had all these proxies, and they're trying to be their great Persian Empire again. And it's turned just against them. And now it's going just the other way. Red China is pro-Iran. Russia's pro-Iran. North Korea's pro-Iran. What does that tell you? That tells you, if you're pro-Iran, Alex Jones, and not in this war, you got something wrong, buddy. You got something very wrong there. And I'm just saying that we need to stick with the Word of God. And yes, after that, Israel is going to become very wealthy. Israel is going to become very prosperous. Israel is going to become probably the most wealthy nation on earth. They're going to have all these oil things. And I would hope and believe that the United States, being a friend to Israel, will also be greatly blessed. Because Balaam said, Numbers 28, you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. Same thing was told to Abraham in Genesis 12. And so I believe this creates an opportunity for you, church, because you live in the United States of America. We are an exceptional constitutional republic. We are built and dedicated to God by the early founders who were born again believers. You are living in an opportune time. Don't be all shook up about prophecy. Take advantage of the potential opportunities that we have. Pray for our soldiers and pray for the fulfillment of these things, and then go after them. Now, after this war, I mentioned Psalm 83. And in Psalm 83, if you read it, the reason why these nations are going to attack Israel and come after Israel is they want to wipe out the name of Israel from being a nation. They hate the whole idea that there's a Jewish homeland in the Middle East. They don't see it. They're like Tucker Carlson. They don't see it as promised by God. And even Carlson, he knows Genesis 15. He knows all these boundaries that I just mentioned to you, but he doesn't really believe it. And he doesn't believe these are Israelites. But anyway, I'm just saying to you that all of these things are coming to pass. And years ago, I prayed to God. I said, Lord, you've showed me from your word when the rapture is, I believe, all about the 70th week of Daniel from Scripture. And I now see it very clearly. I always believed we'd be raptured before the 70th week. And I preached it for years. And that's what I learned in college and seminary. When I began to study the Bible, he began to show me from the Word of God how these things are going to happen. And I began to be able to explain them from the Scripture. But I didn't understand these now prophecies that I'm preaching to you guys tonight. And the next prophecy, which is what Luke said, Ezekiel 38 and 39, that invasion will involve not the nations like Egypt and Iraq and Jordan and Syria and all of these. That will involve an outer ring of mostly Islamic nations, including Turkey, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, what's called the Central Asian Republics, probably Russia, likely, and Sudan and Iran, Persia. They'll be back in their land at that time after having been devastated in the Elam portion. Anyway, they'll be back in their land, and there's going to be a great invasion. But why are they invading Israel? They're not invading them because they don't want them to be a nation. They're invading them from another motivation, according to Ezekiel 38. And Brother Matt has his hand up, so.
It's the money.
It's the money. It's all about the money. Money talks and everybody walks. They're going to be jealous. They're going to want the oil wealth. They're going to want the natural gas wealth. They're going to want the mineral wealth. And they're going to come in there and take it over. Sadly, the United States will not do anything at that time. Why? I can't get into that. I don't know for sure. But I think Donald Trump will not be president during that time. It'll be somebody who knows who. But I'm just saying that European nations won't do anything. Well, that makes sense. European nations won't. There'll be no nation that'll do anything. The Saudis will be allied with Israel during that time. What's left of Saudi Arabia, you know, it's a smaller area. But the Saudis will, and they'll say, why did you come against Israel? Some of these Arab nations now, they'll be, why did you do, why are you doing that? You know, that's about all they can do. They can't do anything else. So, will Israel then be extinguished? I believe God brought Israel back to their land, and nobody's going to extinguish them. Not even the beast. So, how are they going to avoid being extinguished? Because this is going to be an army like as, like even the Bible says the Israeli Defense Force cannot handle them. Who's going to handle them? Well, you guessed it, God Almighty, right? God Almighty, read about it. He's going to, and it's going to be done in such a way nobody will be able to say, God didn't do that. The God of Abraham, Isaac, you say, will Israel be saved during that time? No, this is not when they're saved. This is still in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's before. They have their temple and their millennial temple, and they're saved as a nation. No, but they will be protected by God. Why? Because God is faithful to the Abrahamic covenant, and he is now doing a new thing. He has brought Israel back to get them ready to get saved. Amen and amen. So I'm saying tonight, number one, don't be all shook up. Number one, because of the opportunities that I've now been explaining to you based on the Word of God. But number two, don't be all shook up because of the opening of the 7 years explained for you. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3a. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3a. It says there, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. We beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Let's go on to the next verse there. It says then in the next verse that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Now notice he's saying, we plead with you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, those are two things. They're called participles, right? And the Bible was originally written in Greek, and there's a rule called Granville Sharp's rule. And when you have two participles like this, they're referring, the second thing is referring to the same thing that the first thing is. So the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ involves our gathering together unto him. Now, the word for coming there is a Greek word. There's a lot of words for coming in the Greek. Erkomai, epiphania, apocalypsis. This word for coming is the word parousia. And what it means is that when Jesus comes the second time, It's not a one-day event. It's stretched out over a lot of period of time. Now, why is that important? Pre-tribulational rapturists, which I was one, we used to say there are two second comings. Christ is going to come once in the air for his bride and gather us up, and then he's going to come another time at the end of the 7 years to set up his kingdom. How many have heard of that? Two second coming. But there's not two second comings. There's only one. Well, how do you handle that then? Because there are these different events of his coming. Thank you, Brother Z. I need help. Diane helps clean my office every week. She's doing a great job. But there are two second comings. No, not. There's one, but it's parousia. All of these things will happen. Now, what he's dealing with here is the 1 second coming and the very first event of that 1 second coming. And that very first event is called the rapture. That's not here in the Bible, but the idea of gathering together unto him. Matthew 24 describes it. When he comes back again, he's going to start by only coming in the clouds. He won't touch down as the first aspect of his second coming, but he will rather send his angels, listen, to gather out his believing people from this world to meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And that's what 2 Thessalonians is talking about. And that is the first event, my friends, of the second coming of Jesus Christ. 1 second coming, the parousia. And so, what is he saying here? Don't be all shook up. Why? By mind, in troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, this is very important, the day of Christ. What is the day of Christ? Whenever you see the day of Christ in the English Bible, your King James Bible, whenever you see the day of Christ, it is on the same day as the day of the Lord. You say, what are you talking about? It's not the same thing, but it's the same day. What are you talking about? All right, the day of Christ is the rapture. That's for us. The day of the Lord is wrath for the world. Now, Christ used this in Luke's gospel to describe the day of Christ, day of the Lord. Here, he used two illustrations. Does anybody know the two illustrations? One was Noah, and the other was Lot. So let's start with Noah. Noah got the animals in the ark. That was the salvation that God provided when he was pouring out the wrath of his flooding the whole world. He took then 7 days to load the ark. Who got on last? Noah and his family. And God shut the door behind him. Now, if you read your Bible carefully, on the same day that God shut the door, it began to what? Rain. That's wrath. So here you have the rescue of the righteous, Noah, in the ark. On the same day, wrath falls. Let's go up to Lot. Jesus used this to illustrate his second coming again and the parousia. And he said of Lot, on the same day that God rained fire and brimstone down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent his what? Angels, get this, angels to rescue Lot and his family that came with him out of Sodom. And those angels took them out just in time. On the same day it came down. So Jesus is saying, listen, on the same day that he sends his angels to pull you out of this world, he's going to start to pour out his wrath. He's going to start to pour out his wrath. In Revelation, that would be Revelation chapter 8 through Revelation chapter 19. The rescue would be in Revelation chapter 7. I'm saying this is what the Bible's talking about. He's talking about when he comes back, he's going to have the day of Christ. And the day of Christ is going to be the rapture before the wrath falls on that same day. But notice he says, in that aspect, he says, don't let anybody tell you that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, don't let anybody come to this church and say the rapture can happen tonight. You say, well, Pastor, what has to happen before the rapture? Now, listen, how many have ever heard that somebody has said, oh, the rapture could happen today? Yeah. Now, let me read it to you. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Notice that. Let no man deceive you by any means. There's a lot of deception going on. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of what?
Christ.
The day of Christ, and that is the day of the what?
Rapture.
Rapture. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, that falling away first is very important. That must happen before the rapture, and then the son of perdition must be revealed for who he really is before the rapture. Well, what is that apostasy? What is what he's talking about? That day shall not come except there be a falling away first. The Greek word is ha, which is a definite article, the ha. Apostasia. That word is always used in Scripture, apostasia, for somebody that was standing with God and then stands away from God and repudiates what he once believed. Whether it's angelic apostasy or human, it's always that. But do you know what some Bible teachers and many Bible teachers are teaching today about the word apostasy? Does anybody know what they're doing with that word, what they're calling it? The rapture. Except there come an apostasy first called the rapture. What are you talking about? A falling away? No, that is apostasy. That's not the rapture. In other words, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day of the rapture shall not come except the rapture come. That doesn't even make sense, does it? Now, it's like ridiculous. But yet, very intelligent people are writing books on it. I'm saying tonight that this word speaks of a specific apostasy. It's happened before in history under the Grecian Empire when the Jewish people, they fell away and allowed Grecian culture to take over, and they began to fall away from the God of the Bible, their God, their covenant with God. And they even allowed a sow, a pig, to be offered on their altar in their temple. And they even allowed a statue of Jupiter, or Zeus, the Greek god Jupiter, who is a false god, to be put in the Holy of Holies. And so that happened in history. And it's going to happen again. But here's what you need to understand. That falling away first will be the nation of Israel falling away from the God who has made the promise to give them the land from Mediterranean all the way to the Euphrates River, from the river of Egypt all the way into northern, in the north in Lebanon. They're going to fall away from that. You see, remember we just said Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's going to be a great invasion into Israel. No nation will help Israel, but God will come through. What God? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's going to come through. You'll see it on the news if you're here then. Not dead. It'll be amazing. Israel will rejoice in the victory. They'll rejoice. And then, you know what they did in the days of Saul? They said, we don't want God to rule over us alone. We want a human king. You know why they did that? We want to be like the other nations. And during this time, when Daniel's 70th week starts, there's going to be a big move to one world government under one man.
That's God.
And Israel is going to say, will go along with that world government. And the Bible tells us that the Roman Empire is going to be revived. And right now, that's a European empire. But Israel is going to be a superpower. And here's what they're going to say to the Europeans. We will become part of that empire if you will back us with your arms to have our temple sacrifices done peaceably, and nobody will bother us, and we'll become part of your empire. And Egypt will become part of it. And Syria, just like in the days of Christ's first coming, the Roman Empire extended in there. And that will all happen. And in doing that, Isaiah 28, 15 and 18 says that the Jewish people will follow the Jewish Antichrist, and they will make a covenant, a treaty with death, which will be to be part of the revived Roman Empire. Instead of trusting God, they'll be part of the revived Roman Empire, and that will be part of a 10-union coalition that will be a worldwide empire. Now, it will not be worldwide until the middle of the 7 years, but Israel will begin it by signing that covenant, Isaiah 28, 15 and 18. And so, when it says, notice verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day the rapture shall not come except there come a falling away first. That will be when Israel begins the 70th week. You'll know two things are happening. Number one, they'll lose their sovereignty as a nation. Right now they're a sovereign nation. They'll lose it to the European Union. They'll lose it. Number two, they will be depending on the European Union to allow them to do their temple sacrifices. By the way, that tells you the temple is going to be rebuilt, doesn't it? Could be any day now. How many heard the news reports of the Iranian missile that almost hit the Dome of the Rock? Yeah, that's where the temple is located. It could be taken out in this war. It could be taken out in the Psalm 83 war. But it'll be taken out. Israel will rebuild their temple. They'll start their sacrifices. They're going to get a lot of hassle for that. But the head of the revived Roman Empire will say, that's all right. You can have your temple sacrifice. You can have your Judaism. We'll back it. We'll protect you if anybody tries to oppose it. And that's what's going to happen. But I want you to notice, don't get all shook up. God has let you know what's going to happen so that your faith can depend on God, that he'll take care of you and he'll help you. Don't be all shook up because of the opportunities now explained to you, and then because of the opening of the 7 years explained to you in verses 2, 1 through 3a. But finally, I want to conclude because of the opposition to come explained for you. And look with me at the second part of verse 3 and verse 4. I'll read it in 2 Thessalonians 2. And we're talking about the opposition to come. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day the rapture shall not come except there come a falling away first. And we talked about that. That's the beginning of the 7 years. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You say, who is the son of perdition? He's a Gentile. He's a Gentile. He's a world leader. He's somebody, Revelation 17 said, was killed by a military weapon to the head. He's in hell, but he's coming back. And he headed one of seven great empires in the past that persecuted Israel. That man is coming back out of hell, and he's going into hell permanently, into the lake of fire. He's called the son of perdition. You say, Pastor, who do you believe that man is? I don't have time to go into it tonight. But let me just say, Heil Hitler. Say, how could Hitler come back? His soul coming back into a body, and a body could be cloned with the help of technology and Satan. In fact, that clone could already be around. There was a movie made called The Brazil Boys, where a number of clones of Hitler were made. In the 1980s, that was done. I'm just saying to you, keep watching, because this individual will not be revealed as being Hitler. He'll be incognito. People won't know. The Jewish people won't know they're signing an agreement with the Führer. But I am troubled already with Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and Nick Fuentes and Kanye West talking about black people saying Heil Hitler on his music album. The world is getting prepared to accept him. And when he's revealed in the middle of the 7 years, the Bible says the people are going to say, who's able to make war with this guy? We're just going to go along with it. And what he couldn't do in his first coming, he'll do in his second coming. And he'll have the help of the Jewish Antichrist. Now, we're out of time. I don't have time to get into it all, but I want you to notice here when he comes, look at verse 9, it says, well, look at verse 8, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. His coming. He's going to destroy him, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The Jewish Antichrist is going to do miracles, satanic-powered miracles, and he's going to say, you worship this man. I believe it'll be secular humanism. He'll say he's the most highly evolved man, and they'll be worshiping him. That's why the Bible said in the last days, perilous times will come. You say, aren't we promised that we'll be out of here? 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, God hath not appointed us to wrath. Yeah, but that's not the wrath of God. That's the wrath of Satan. And so when this all happens and the whole world takes his mark and buys and sells, and there'll only be born-again Christians that won't take it, and some Orthodox Jewish people that'll run for the hills that won't take it, and some believers will be preserved through that time supernaturally. I call them the Philadelphian church-type believers. Others will be like the Smyrnans. They'll give the sacrifice and go to be with the Lord. Not for long. Because when the Lord comes back, he's going to start throwing fiery judgments. And just before he comes back to rapture us, Revelation 6 says the sky is going to be dark. And Joel 3 says it. And when the whole world is seeing all this happen, they're going to have hearts failing them for fear because they have not been saved. But believers are going to rejoice and they're going to lift up their voice and say, praise God, our redemption draws nigh. All these things are building to a climax. Don't be all shook up. You don't need to be, because the Lord has given you this roadmap. He's given you this GPS. I like a GPS that works. It helps me. I don't get all shook up when I'm traveling all over because I'm a dummy, but I can get on that GPS and program it, and it helps me. Don't get all shook up. Why? Because of the opportunities right now that these now prophecies are giving you to witness and live for Christ and to build lives. Number two, because of the opening of the 7 years, that you know when it will happen. We're not in it yet. You'll know the prophecies leading up to it. You'll know it. And number three, because of the opposition to come that will be in the middle of the 7 years, but it won't even last for 3.5 years. The Lord will cut it short and rescue us out of this world, dead or alive, will rescue us. The question is, are you a born-again Christian tonight? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? And number two, and I want to give you this verse as the last one tonight. Look at verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians 2. It says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. You notice the men that had their hands up and were able to give the answers? Is your mind like a sieve? I preach on these things all the time. Or do you remember them? If not, perhaps you need to listen to the messages again and again and get brainwashed. That means wash your brain out with the Word of God. And put your hope in the Lord. And don't get all shook up, Paul said. Because he's got this. And he's got you in the hollow of his hand. Let's bow for prayer. I wonder tonight, you say, preacher,